Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Isaac and Zook are ready to predict this week's college and NFL outcomes with their usual laser-like accuracy.
How about if I take your money and kick you in the balls three times? No. Is that a fair deal?
A deep dive on the games that matter and some that don't.
Football is football.
Football's football.
This is Roppin' the Bank with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you by Ryan Huddleston of Hometown Lenders. For refinancing or new home loan options, go to the local experts. The best rates in town with a process so easy, it's like Roppin' the Bank. To learn more, contact Ryan at RyanHLoans.com. Roppin' the Bank on 1080.
Somebody's making money.
The Fan.
Now, just because Rob's gone doesn't mean we stop Ropping the Bank. Of course, Dave Bartu joins us. Dave, you with me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm hanging in there. Actually, it'll probably be more interesting. Well, I mean, everybody's disappointed Rob's not here because if you just bet against all of his stuff, you're up a lot.
Now,
so
we...
the downside is the anti-Rob fund is going to not increase this week.
Yeah, you're not able to fade Rob's picks. Now, Lynch, you have the records.
I do, and I'm going to be the one trying to keep track of all this stuff while Rob is out. In first place is Dave Bartu. He is 42-34 so far. Although his fugly game of the week is just 3-6, which is disappointing.
It's still my favorite pick. And the 1 week we're off, Dave went 9-1 or something.
Yeah, I went 10-1 last week, dude. It was the best week yet.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, it didn't count, Dave. Sorry about it.
Second place is yours truly. I am 23-19. Third place is Sook, who is 22-22-1. And then Rop is in last and will probably stay there because he's not going to be making picks for a couple of weeks at 20-23.
Me, right in the meaty part of the bell curve. I'm the Portland Trailblazers of sports picking. All right, Dave, do you want to start us off? Because, you're dominating here.
Well, I should just pick. Rop's going to get all the spread picks. How about that? He can have all the spread. I got a ton this week. Let's kick it off with tonight's game. We better get this one over with. Dallas Cowboys, New Orleans Saints, opened at 48. 48 is a magic number this time of year in the NFL. Last week, 48 opened, went under all three times. 3-0 right there. We're going to try to make it 4 in a row. In fact, 5 in a row because Dallas, New Orleans.
It is now at 46, Dave. 46.
Yeah, so we're going 46. And Minnesota, Detroit opened at 48 as well. It is down to 46.5. So we're doing Minnesota, Detroit, same thing, under 46.
Now 47 on Minnesota, Detroit. So a little extra for
even
you.
Better. Even better. But hey, listen, if anybody's going to be betting these things, if you're going to be trailing these things, you've got to wait for the close. If it's at 47.5 or higher, don't bet it. It's all about the move and the close. So just wait till Sunday morning.
All right, I am going to take my first one then, and they've burned me before, and this will be my final chance. I still think Dallas is good, and Dallas is getting healthy, and New Orleans is not, and the fact that Taysom Hill, who cannot throw the football, I cannot figure out how he's a starting quarterback, and I'm getting, I got the 6.5, it's not at 7. If it was above a touchdown, I think it would scare me, but I am going to take Dallas, and I will lay the 6.5.
My first pick is going to be...
What was that, Dave? You scared me there.
No, good. We're good. Sorry, I'm just in the background. 60% of the time on this move, the road team covers. The numbers are in your favor.
Nice.
My first pick is going to be looking at two teams who have been playing differently, but expecting a bit of a flip in this game, and that is the Chargers and the Bengals. Bengals have been playing quite well the last few weeks. The Chargers have been a bit more inconsistent. The Chargers on the road are 3-point underdogs in this one. I think LA wins straight up in this game, so I'm going to take LAC +3.
All right, Dave, hit me with a couple more.
We're going to go 3 unders in a row. Tampa, Atlanta opened at -50.5. Look, 50.5 in the NFL is automatic under bet. Almost 80% in December go under 50.5 when it opens at 50.5.
It is still 50.5, so the same numbers there.
Exactly. So Tampa, Atlanta, under 50.5. The next under is Indianapolis and Houston. It opened at 47. I have it at 45.5.
45.
Okay, so we're still going under on the 45. But again, wait, it might come back up. And the last under of the week is going to be Philadelphia and the New York Jets, under 45.
Okay, well, I'm going to stick there, and believe it or not,
that is now at 44.5, just for those of you
out there. That's so cool. It's the right trend.
All right.
It's moving in the right direction.
All right, and then I'm going to follow that because I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair, and I am going to take the New York Jets at 7.5. I'm not certain that Philly should be favored over anyone by 7.5, and Hurts is beat up. And remember, the Jets at home...
It is now +7, Sue.
It's +7?
Yes.
Oh, so the Jets this year at home have beaten both Tennessee and Cincinnati. Like, I know they're bad, but Philly's not that good either. And Jalen Hurts came crashing back down to earth last week. He still can't throw the football. So actually, believe it or not, I think the Jets are in a good spot here. I don't think they win, but I think this is under a touchdown. So I'm gonna grab the points and take the Jets, 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 and Andrew Nemec's favorite quarterback, Zach Wilson.
My next pick.
You have chosen wisely, Jason Tom.
Ooh, yeah. Two in a row.
I love it.
My next pick is going to be Baltimore and Pittsburgh. The Ravens are 4-point favorites. Lamar Jackson looked like a rookie. He even said it himself last week. Steelers suck. Ben Roethlisberger sucks. I really do think this is going to be a huge bounce back game for the Ravens after that really ugly game last week. I'm going to take Baltimore -4.
All right, Dave.
All right, we're gonna go three straight dogs. Three straight dogs. We are on board with the Sukanik train. New York Jets +7.
There we go.
Home team is 12-4 in the last 10 years in the 5 weeks surrounding this week.
I'm aroused.
So we're taking the home team +7. The next dog. Oh, is there another dog? Yes. This is another dog at home. Detroit +7 against Minnesota.
Now +7.5. Even better, Dave.
Even better.
Oh, just keep it coming. Keep it coming. The Lions are horrible. Just hopefully not 7.5 points horrible. And the last one, a lot of people probably don't even realize they're an underdog, but they are on the road. This is our road dog. Those are two home dogs. The road dog, we are picking up the Patriots +2.5 on the road at Buffalo. It opened at +3. And has moved in the Patriots' favor. The trend says grab the Patriots to win and cover on the road.
I will take my third pick then. I will follow a 3-for-3 with the great Dave Bartu.
I will also follow said pick.
I am taking the Patriots. I have not been on the Buffalo Bills. Again, for the last handful of weeks, we've had this narrative that Buffalo is a great team. And I've seen Buffalo play 5 or 6 times. And I don't see it. They don't run the ball very well. They rely on Josh Allen, and it can get undone real quick. They don't necessarily play great defense. I like New England. I don't think the Patriots are great, but this idea that Buffalo is this juggernaut, I don't buy it. I'm taking the Pats. And you're going Pats,
too? As am I. That is another pick that was on my docket. So, of course,
that's a
sweep. Buffalo is going to win by 3.
All right,
on behalf of Rop, I would like to take the Bills.
Right. Rob is also taking Philadelphia -7.5.
Guaranteed.
And he gets Pittsburgh +4.5 as well. Because now we're going three favorites to wrap this up. Cincinnati at home against the L.A. Chargers.
Boom.
Oh, -3. This is a really, really tiny data set. But the home team is undefeated in the last 10 years on this move. In
Jeez.
December. So we're taking the Bengals -3. The Dolphins at home against the Giants -4.
-4.5 now.
Well, I don't care. Actually, I do care. Watch where it goes. Again, folks, it may come back to 4. Just as long as the trend is better than -2.5. It's open at -2.5. Money's coming in on the home team there. The trend says bet the home team. And the last one, Baltimore -4.5. I'm on board with that one, too.
Well, I feel ecstatic about my picks because my last one on my board was all aboard the Miami Dolphins Payout Express. Last year was my big money maker, and the last 2 weeks it's made me money. Let's keep riding that Dave Bartu Dolphins train. Toot toot, baby. Mike, you got one more?
No, that was my last one. I was going to take Denver plus 10 against the Chiefs on Sunday.
I thought about that too, and I got scared.
It is now 9.5, and I didn't want to go below the 10-point number in that game just because I think Denver's playing pretty well, and Kansas City is certainly apt to play close games, but I'm a little nervous by the drop below 10.
And you're right. Here, let me throw in something on that. The road team in the three-week window around this week in the NFL, the last 10 years, the road team covers this. It's 13-5 covered if they get plus 10 or more. So we are totally off the 9.5. If it hits 10.5, if you're thinking about going Denver, don't make sure it's at least at 10, if not 10.5. Otherwise, stay off.
That was my plan, is I was going to check a little closer to see if more money went back on the Chiefs and get them at plus 10. So if that hits plus 10, I'll make that pick, but I'm not going to make it official because right now it's 9.5.
All right, Dave, we've made our picks. You got anything else to unload on us?
A couple of notes for people listening out there, you know, that might be leaning. Vegas minus 2.5. Strong lean towards Vegas, minus 2.5. Chicago, home team, above, if it's plus 7.5 or more, Bears at home. Tampa, Atlanta, home team, real small sample, but home team is 5-1 in the last 10 years at home with more than 10.5 points off of this open. So that's another one if people are looking for due diligence out there.
All right. Well, I won't count those as your official picks, but here are the picks. I am taking the Chargers plus 3, Baltimore minus 4, and New England plus 2.5. Suk is taking Dallas tonight minus 6.5, the Jets plus 7, New England plus 2.5, Miami plus 4.5. Bartu is on the under in Dallas, New Orleans, Minnesota, Detroit, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Indy, Houston, and Philly and the Jets. It's a lot of unders. He's also on Jets plus 7, Detroit plus 7.5, New England plus 2.5, Cincy minus 3, Miami minus 4.5, and Baltimore minus 4. There are your picks.
All right. Well, nothing can stop Rob in the bank, even Rob being gone. Dave, we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. When we come back, let's see, where should we go? I want to ask you, Mr. Nemec, I want to ask you a recruiting question as we rapidly approach the early signing period. And then in the news coming up here at 4:30, Hot 5 at 5, we'll set your DVR 5:15, and then Joey Harrington joins us on a Thursday, as tomorrow we have no show with the Oregon-Utah Pac-12 title game. You've got primetime here, 10 into the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in. In the news coming up in about 10 minutes or so, I want to ask you while you're in here for an SNL, a Suk Lynch Nemec, or Suk Nemec Lynch, I should say, SNL edition of Primetime. We're going to be doing these Mondays and Thursdays for the month of December. This whole Lincoln Riley recruiting thing, like, we knew when Lincoln Riley landed at USC that it would be a big deal. We talked about it, and actually a lot of Oregon fans got a little little feathers ruffled there, and there was this idea of, well, how much impact can one guy make? But here we are just a couple days later, and I saw you had a tweet today about some of the top recruits in California. One of the stories today on ESPN.com was an ESPN 30 running back, or top 300 running back, number 60 player in the country. Six of our running back flipped from Oklahoma to Oklahoma. We had the number two quarterback flip from Oklahoma to USC. And all of a sudden there's this big rush now that USC here over the next couple of days here may end up pulling off a miracle on signing day and have this amazing recruiting class. Is this a product of Lincoln Riley? Is it a product of USC? How abnormal is this? Because it feels like there is, like, just in the span of 48 hours, there's been this seismic shift. Or is a lot of this just hype and it isn't that big a deal what we're seeing here?
Well, it's layered and it's nuanced. I think thus far, Lincoln Riley's damage has been that he's flipped his own Oklahoma commits to USC. Yeah. And it just so happens that he's done a pretty good job recruiting California. Yeah. So those flips have been California kids. The number two quarterback in the nation in 2023 also happens to be the number two overall prospect, Malachi Nelson. He was a California kid. So he flipped from Oklahoma to USC. Ralique Brown, some people have him as the number one running back in the nation or the number two running back in the nation. He's a five-star prospect, according to some. He flipped. He's a California kid. So those aren't surprises. Where I think things are surprising, even me, who has been on probably the outer extreme of this is going to be really bad in terms of recruiting for the Pac-12 because USC is going to clean up. Cyrus Moss had a top three a week ago of Alabama, Arizona State, and Oregon. Not Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Not USC. Lincoln Riley went to USC. He visited him yesterday. Cyrus Moss, who has 100% crystal ball predictions to Oregon. I predicted months ago it'll be Oregon. They pitched him on being the next Kayvon Thibodeau. He is now going to visit USC. And I have talked to people close to his recruitment who say, I think he's going to end up at USC. Now, Oregon's still got a shot. He's going to the Pac-12 title game tomorrow.
Yeah, this is a Nevada edge rusher. This isn't a receiver. It's not a quarterback. It's not a California kid.
He's not a California kid. He is not an offensive weapon that Lincoln Riley's going to utilize. Oklahoma has not been great on defense. Those are all things I've heard Oregon people say recently. Like, he's going to get the skill guys in California, or he's going to be able to flip his Oklahoma kids, but it's going to be harder to flip kids outside of California. It's going to be harder for him to get non-skill offensive players because Oklahoma wasn't great on offense. Cyrus Moss,
defense, you mean.
Excuse me. Yeah, they haven't been great on defense. Cyrus Moss is the antithesis of that. He's not from California. He wasn't considering Oklahoma or USC. And in 48 hours, he's gone from probably going to Oregon, almost certainly going to Oregon, to serious dogfight. And you can find a number of people who think it's now USC. The thing about USC is when they get the backing of USC alumni, the city of Los Angeles, when it becomes a thing, there's such a spotlight around LA football and Reggie Bush and the national titles. And it brings up the Pete Carroll era. And you can say that's premature. I agree with you. But it doesn't mean people aren't getting ahead of their skis. Just like when Oregon does well, people get ahead of their skis and say, well, Cristobal's going to win national titles. We've got these great recruiting classes. Every fan base tends to do this. But in LA, it gets the major high school programs, Modern Day, St. John Bosco, excited. They've got 4 and 5 stars all over the place.
Yeah.
So when they're excited and they're all willing and ready to rally around USC, it becomes this avalanche that USC is going to be a superpower again. You know, Lincoln Riley says it's going to be the mecca of college football. And you could say, yeah, he said that at Oklahoma. One of his players said he said that at Oklahoma like a few days ago. But when you say it in LA, they have a tendency to believe it.
Yeah, it's different.
And when you start saying, listen, I've been here 24 hours. I got the number one running back in the nation. I got the number two quarterback in the nation who happens to be the number two overall prospect. The number one athlete in the country just decommitted from Oklahoma. He's likely to choose USC. I've done all of that in 48 hours. Imagine what I can do in a year. You get the guys like Cyrus Moss from Nevada, an elite edge rusher going,
and you've talked
okay,
to,
I'm listening.
And you've talked with me about this before, and I don't know if we've done it on air, but there's an element of when you get a Kayvon Thibodeau, that leads to getting a Noah Sewell, or it leads to getting a Keith Brown, right? It's like when you land, there's a handful of guys every year that are truly special. When you land one of those big name guys, it's almost like the Pied Piper. The other guys want to follow. They want to attach themselves to that.
There are Pied Piper recruits. I actually call them Pied Piper recruits. It's not really an industry term. It's something that I've kind of I not coined because well, not there, a lot of people use it. But
there we go.
There are guys who move the needle, who you get this guy and he's connected. It happens a ton in basketball. It also happens in football, but more than one guy, if you get a 7-on-7 program to back you, and you can suddenly bring in multiple guys from an elite 7-on-7 program, and you get a 5-star quarterback and a 4-star running back. Suddenly, the 4-star O-lineman that knows them, that goes to the same high school, is going, I'd like to go there too. And that's what you're seeing a little bit with USC. Now, we'll look. I mean, you can say, well, Andrew, you might be overreacting here. USC, as of early this morning, was outside the top 100 in the recruiting class rankings. I bet they finish in the top 15 in 2 weeks. It would not shock me in the slightest if they push Oregon. I'm not saying they're going to eclipse Oregon, but if they push Oregon for the number one recruiting class in the Pac-12.
After two weeks. So this is one of those things when Lincoln Riley landed, people can try to deny it all they want. I think some of that is just fear of what may be coming to their program. And we don't know what's happening on the field, but in recruiting, it really does feel like there was a pretty seismic shift here. And we know the recruiting's the lifeblood of college football programs, right? I mean, people can sit up here all they want. I love the people that are like, and I'm not a huge recruiting guy. I try to follow it enough because of the job, but I'm not on message boards. I know a handful of the big name players, but you do get these guys that are like, well, recruiting doesn't matter. And, you know, I was a 2-star kid or, you know, look at this program that develops. But at the end of the day, when you look at Georgia, when you look at Alabama, you look at Clemson, you look at the teams that are playing that in the college football playoff, you're not talking about people that are recruiting in the 15 to 20 range. You're talking about top 10 to top 12 recruiters. So it is you can dislike it all you want, but the proof's in the pudding. If you don't recruit at an elite level, you don't get where you need to be.
And the other piece that I want to really push home for people, because the pushback from a lot of Oregon fans, the pushback from a lot of people when it comes to new coach coming into new spot is going to dramatically change things, is recruiting's all about relationships.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's not. It's not all about relationships. That helps you when you're competing on an even playing field with another school and you've both been recruiting them a year. It comes down to relationships. You want to see a relationship that's brand new, that might turn the tide? Oregon's been recruiting Cyrus Moss for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
USC's been recruiting him, or Lincoln Riley at USC has been recruiting him for 72 hours. And it's a real battle. Kids get enamored with flashy and new and exciting and potential dynasty. And if Alabama comes in late for a kid, I've seen that flip a kid. I've seen schools go after elite prospects. Clemson liked Justin Flo, really wanted him to commit. He wouldn't. And they said, listen, we've got other guys we can get. We need you to pull the trigger. He said, I'm announcing on signing day. They said, we'll pivot. They offered a 5-star prospect and had him visit like that. They offered him like a Thursday or a Wednesday. He visited Friday. He's 5-star recruit, been recruited since he was a freshman in high school. Visited Clemson that weekend, committed to Clemson that weekend, a 5-star prospect, one of the top prospects in America. There are certain programs that when things are moving in their way, relationships go out the window, scheme goes out the window. It's just literally, oh my gosh, I've got an opportunity to be a part of this.
SC is one of those.
And Lincoln Riley went from taking USC to a program that was 10th in the Pac-12 this year in recruiting rankings to being one of those programs alongside Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and sometimes LSU. That's just the reality, and you cannot like it, but that's the reality. And why I say this is getting way more complicated for Oregon. It's going to get harder. It doesn't mean they're not going to finish top 15, top 20 almost every year.
Cyrus Moss may end up signing.
And
you just said it's just a battle.
May end up at Oregon.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. Cyrus Moss should have been close to a lay-in for Oregon as of he visited Saturday.
Yeah.
He visited Saturday for his third or fourth visit to Oregon, and it seemed like Oregon. USC wasn't even on his list. Now he's visiting USC, and it's a legitimate battle. That's how quickly Lincoln Riley emboldened and empowered a dormant power juggernaut program. It happened overnight, and you're already feeling the recruiting ramifications.
Do you think kids in general, and I know we got a break here, my last one, kids in general, are they recruiting to a coach or are they recruiting to a program?
It's a coach. And people say don't go to a program because of a coach. Well, okay, university. Instead, who's touring me on my visit? Who's calling my parents? Who's meeting me in home? Send the president of the university then. Send my professors. If that's really you're supposed to fall in love with a school? Okay, send your administrative body out to recruit me. The face of the person you make. Recruiting is all about the personal connection, and that's just kind of the reality. Now, it's not all about relationships, but you want to put a face to where you're headed. The only face that college football programs put out is a position coach and a head coach. So, of course, they're connected to the position coach and the head coach. Those are the guys on the visits.
All right, when we come back in the news, here, though, Lynch with SportsCenter, right here on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is, what day is it today? It's December 2nd.
A palindrome, 12? Oh, 02-2021.
Yeah. Hey, look at that. That's kind of fun. How many of those do we have a year? Do we know?
Well,
yeah, depending on the year.
It would depend on the year, yes.
Have we had any others this year? I'm sure there's probably a pretty easy way to look at the numbers.
No,
but
if it's 2021 and you reverse it, it could only be 12.
So could we only have one of those a year? Per year?
Except when you get into, once you get past like 2031, you can't have them anymore because 46.
See, all of a sudden
47.
Now.
Yeah, now you're not so crazy. Yeah. But if you get into high numbers.
I need some edibles if we're going to have this conversation. Yeah.
You know what I'm
that
saying.
That would make things a lot worse.
If you get into like 47 and you flip it, you're past the number of days in a month or number of months in a year, so it's not possible.
Well, all I know is that it's December 2nd in the year of our Lord 2021, and that means it is time for In the News. Your noted newsman is gone. Your noted news contributor here, our noted roving reporter, Andrew Nemec here, and of course, always with me is Mike Lynch. It is National Special Education Day, and I do want to take a brief moment to say, you special education teachers out there, you are doing the Lord's work. Teachers in general, you get crap pay, you get crapped on. I know it's harder than ever. But people that deal with special education, I know that's, you know, close to our family. You know, my brother-in-law has Down syndrome. Those are some of the most wonderful human beings and kids you will ever encounter. But it is a struggle on a day-to-day. It is not easy to be caretakers. It is not easy to be educators with those kids. For as much love and joy they bring you, there is also a ton of frustration. And the people that do that are doing it for no other reason than out of the goodness of their heart, and it's what they love.
Yeah, my older brother was special needs, and he passed away when I was younger. Yeah. And his teachers were amazing, and when he passed, I mean, they went above and beyond, and you could tell the level they loved him, you know, and that's an incredible thing to love your students, and they do. They pour their heart and souls out, into students who otherwise get no recognition and very little attention. They deserve tremendous credit.
It is also National Fritters Day, and who doesn't love a fritter? Whether you're talking about a cheese corn fried fritter, whether you're talking about an apple fritter, fritters in general, deep fried dough with something in the middle of it, it doesn't get much better.
I've only ever had an apple fritter, a couple times, and that's
it. You never had like a corn fritter?
Nope.
Oh, well, I guess, would a corn dog technically be a fritter? I mean,
doesn't the stick ruin it? Is it not a fritter if it's on a stick?
I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
A fritter on a stick? I don't know if that's a thing.
I suppose. I mean, why would a
fritter? What does the word fritter even mean?
Well, I mean,
to frit.
We know it comes from the German term to frit. Yeah, it says a fritter comes in various form, from morsels dipped in flavorful batters, bits of dough stuffed or filled with delicious surprises. All the varieties are deep fried and served hot with dips, drips, dustings of seasonal sweet or sauces.
I think then a corn dog does count.
I do.
So is a chocolate croissant like the ones that have the chocolate in them, is that essentially a fritter?
No, because they're not deep fried.
They're not fried.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, sorry. I'll catch up. I'm telling you, I'm new to the fritter game.
It is not. Well, fritters are just wonderful. That's why I said you can't beat a fritter. Again, it's deep fried.
Well, it sounds like a fritter is really just anything that's fried. So
well,
you're not really
with
late
something
on the fritter
in the
game.
Dough.
Would a chicken tendy then? Could I order some chicken tendies and would that be a fritter?
It does sound like the fritter is a little bit more on the sweet side, but if it's a corn dog, I don't know. I don't know. Don't ask me these questions.
Yeah, but it says right here, it's morsels dipped in flavorful batters. A chicken strip isn't dipped in a batter. That's like, it's rolled in some sort of flour mixture. That's not dipped. You don't dip a chicken tendy.
So it has to be like a liquid coating to start
like
before
a corn, Yeah, like a corn dog on a stick sort of thing. Maybe the old lemonade stands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have a dip there.
Did you ever know anybody that worked at Hot Dog on a Stick and had to wear that outfit?
No.
Okay.
Although I kind of think the outfit's kind of cool.
Do you?
Yeah. I always liked going to the mall and seeing the like when you were a little kid.
Kind of cool to see or kind of cool to wear in high school for your first job? Because that's essentially when you'd be wearing.
Can I make an admission here? When I was like 12 years old.
Oh, God.
You know, you got dropped off at the mall as a punk kid.
Yes.
I found the Hot Dog on the Stick uniform incredibly sexy. There was always like that 15, 16 year old girl that was working at Corn Dog on a stick. And it was like sleeveless. I always loved that.
Was it the girl that you thought was sexy?
No,
or
I think it was the outfit.
I think it was the outfit and the corn dog. Like
chubby high school Sook or 12-year-old Sook was hot for corn dogs.
Yeah, that's part of it. Do I get the girl with a corn dog?
Well, can you really tell?
Because it doesn't get any better than that.
Who the girl is in the costume?
Well, yeah.
It's what? Just, she's not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I don't know this stand. I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know
the stand. It's a store. Look it up.
Yeah. And
I've never heard of this before.
Like a sleeveless, like blue and red, like
blue,
striped.
Yellow and blue stripe.
Yeah. And then you had like a big hat.
A real big hat.
Like chef's kind of hat. And I don't know what. There was something. Again, you're probably right in that chubby 12, 13-year-old me. It was this weird combination of sex and food and hormones and the mall kind of all wrapped into one.
Oh, my
goodness.
Wow,
I've never seen this in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, picture, you were a fat kid. You're telling me that you're roaming the mall and you see like a cute six-year-old.
It looks like Ronald McDonald, but just for this restaurant.
What are you talking about? So if this was like a lingerie
Nobody
outfit,
you
get this for
this
your
suit.
Lady friend? What is the text line doing?
No
right?
one
they
else?
Have to be like just absolutely losing their minds. Oh. It's one of the dorkiest outfits ever.
Well, someone says, right, I got one. I got one saying I agree with Sook. Someone
you texted
else,
that yourself. I saw you.
Someone else said you need to buy your special lady friend the Hot Dog on the Stick uniform. Now, that's a good idea. I'm going to wrap it up and be like, honey, I got something sexy for you. I'm going to need you to slip this on tonight.
Interesting. I just looked it up because I've literally never heard of this store nor seen it in my life. Currently only in 4 states. Or
really?
5 states.
Well, they've scaled way back. They used to be everywhere.
They must have been more West Coast than East Coast, because I mean, I went to malls all the time. I never saw this.
They were at Clackamas Town Center. I think Lloyd Center must have had one.
They are currently only in California, Nevada, Utah, Hawaii, and New Mexico.
Hmm. And this guy said he grew up in Orange County. He said they hired high school cheerleaders. Inside info. See, I'm telling you, the hot dog on the sticks girls were always the cutest girls at the mall.
But you said you liked the outfit, the girl. And no, I said, were you more attracted to the girl or the outfit? And well, you said the outfit.
It's both.
It's not an either or.
You can't put me in the hot dog on a stick outfit and be like, hey, there was always something. I think the hot dog on
That's
the stick girl
you.
Was the original Hooters girl. For young
what?
Adolescents,
no.
I feel like the hot dog on the stick.
Oh, what are you doing?
The hot dog on the stick girl was like a big deal when I was a kid.
Because you feel ashamed that you're the only human who has ever found that attractive.
No, I'm telling you now, people are in.
One of two or three humans.
People cannot be in that hot dog on a stick girl is essentially 15-year-old Hooters girl, which is, by the way, entering into dangerous territory.
Not when I was 12. I was 12, it was magical.
But you want to give that outfit to your...
Well,
lady
now,
friend.
But yes, but now it's two consenting perverts as opposed to 12-year-old pervert me. I'm telling you, man, they knew what they were doing. They hired cute high school girls to mash that lemonade up and down. They knew what was happening.
Wow.
Yeah,
texter says it's the old-fashioned Dutch Brothers.
Yes.
My Dutch Bros hired attractive.
Exactly, right? Yes.
That's fair.
You go to a Dutch Brothers and there's some 17-year-old making eyes and there's creepy dudes that go there and they're like, oh, the young girl's flirting with me. That's the hot dog on the stick model.
I went to the same Dutch Bros a few times and then stopped going. But
a lot of people are now agreeing with Suk, by the way.
I had a theory that the Dutch Bros girls were just supposed to agree with everything.
Yeah.
So one time I went through and I was like, I just got fired. And she went, cool, cool. You don't have to work now. You just are free. And I was like, yeah, it's awesome. I have no money. I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage. She goes, cool, cool. And I was like, okay, this is where we're at. It was hilarious. Because my theory was proven right. And my stepson, Jaden, who was like 14 at the time, was in the car. And he starts just dying laughing. He's like, you were right. They're just supposed to say cool to everything you say.
Same model. Speaking of something that has nothing to do with what we were talking about there, November 16th has been officially declared Darcell Day by the Portland City Council. Yes, Darcell of Darcells. Apparently, this guy is like the world, like, and we all know Darcells, right? It's the drag show down there.
Yeah, he used to party at my mom's parents' house.
Really?
They used to throw these big parties for all the theater folk because my mom was in the theater and did a bunch of, my grandma.
Grandma liked to party.
They would have big parties and Darcell would come.
Oh, well, yeah. I didn't know this, like, because I know he's like this huge icon and I've been to Darcells and it's fun. He's 91.
Yeah, old.
I had no idea.
My grandma has passed long ago.
Well, Darcells is the longest running drag show in America, and the Portland City Council has officially declared November 16th with his Darcell.
That's
is
cool.
His birthday. From now going forward, November 16th will officially be Darcell Day in the great city of Portland, which is the most Portland thing ever that we now have a day for apparently the most famous drag queen in all of Portland. If you've never been, those shows are an absolute blast. And there's a certain segment of our audience right now that is very angry at us.
Whatever. Good times had by all. It's
good
fun.
Good times had by all. All right, we come back and the news rolls on. You've got 10 into the fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're in the middle of In the News. We just got done talking about hot dog on a stick girls. And by the way, the text program, overwhelming right now. Agreeing with me.
The outfit is hot.
The hot dog on the stick girls, whether it was just the girls or the outfit or the combination.
No, I agree on the outfit or on the girls.
They had
it
going
on.
Outfit. They had it going on. Speaking of strange outfits,
heavens.
Apparently there is a theft of a giant shoe that has stole the whimsy from Cartlandia in southeast Portland. Have you seen the giant shoe? Have you ever been over there? The Cartlandia is over there kind of by the Springwater Trail.
Yep.
Apparently there's a 300-pound, like, 5-foot shoe that marks it. And apparently now everyone wants to steal it. The owners of this, they're the one, they own the Blue Room Bar and a couple of other pods there. Apparently they say that the people keep trying to break in to steal the shoe, which was originally purchased at a Chuck E. Cheese. And the thing weighs 300 pounds. And so people, they said multiple attempts have been made. They get people on surveillance trying to get in there, but then they realize how heavy it is. And I wouldn't think that the giant shoe would weigh 300 pounds. I would think it'd be some sort of, like, hollowed out contraption, maybe bolted down. But I guess the thing's just enormous. And someone finally managed to break in there over the Thanksgiving Day weekend, cut open the fence. And they said they're also frustrated because people keep cutting the fence to mess with the shoe. So then they have to mend the fence. And it is on a surveillance video, and they managed to get a cart underneath it, and they wheeled the shoe away.
That's too bad.
And then it appeared on Craigslist the next day under the headlines of free stuff, and under the dimensions, it just said really freaking big. But by the time that they figured out that it was on Craigslist, it had already been removed. So we don't know if it's been sold, or if they realize it's not a good idea to put an iconic item on Craigslist. And now the people are saying that the thieves not only have stolen their property, but they've stolen whimsy from Cartlandia. So if you have information regarding a big ass shoe, a rainbow colored, looks like kind of a Vans high top sneaker, please contact either the police department or maybe the Cartlandia folks down there.
The Blue Room? Is that what it's
called?
Yeah,
the Blue Room.
You could call that.
I think there's like a hostage out there, like, we have your shoe.
I don't know.
I don't know what a big shoe costs.
Probably quite a bit if it was 300 pounds.
Yeah, but what would you do with it? Like, who's ever stealing that? Like, you're just stealing that to be an ass, right?
Only in college do you steal, like, signage that you think's a good idea. When you're an adult, you have to figure out where to put it.
Yeah.
And it's impossible in your house. I already have enough stuff in my house. I don't need freeway signs or stop signs or funny street signs or...
I guess there's a miniature basketball game. There's like a pop-a shot in the middle of the shoe.
Oh, well, then they were asking for it to get stolen.
Yeah, that's one of those things that...
Why'd you put Papa Shot in there?
Yeah, like, you've got a big ass... Well, I mean, it's probably... I mean, Chuck E. Cheese, right? That's probably where it came from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're right. Like, if you put that out in the middle of, especially that area over there, the Springwater Trail.
Come and get me.
Right? Yeah. Like, that's just a... You should just put a big neon sign that says, steal me. When I was in college, I did steal a McDonald's bench with Ronald McDonald on it. You know,
the ones where you could pose next to him?
Yeah, and then like a full kitchenette set. For like 2 years in college, my dining room set was a McDonald's table and the bench. They were
well done.
They were and this is what you were saying, like, when you're in college,
yes,
like, you're just driving around and you see like a big shoe or you see like a McDonald's statue and you're
let's take it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually turned around, we went back, got my buddy's truck, drove back out. So in front of our house was the McDonald's bench with Ronald on it. And then inside we had we couldn't fit the full, it was like one piece because it was two benches and then the table. We couldn't fit it in. So we just like sawed off the one bench. And so like, I don't even know what we did. I think we maybe threw the other bench away, but yeah. What's it added?
You
some...
threw it away. You mean you tossed it aside? Let's take this to the garbage.
Yeah, we probably just dumped it. We probably took it back to McDonald's where we found it. But again, that's one of those. If you're remodeling a McDonald's in a college town, you cannot leave that stuff in your parking lot unattended.
No.
You're just asking for problems. Also, if you're asking for problems on this one, someone has poisoned. This kind of bummed me out. Someone poisoned 8 wolves in Eastern Oregon.
Oh.
Yeah. This is because we just had the story a couple days ago of the famous wolf. It was like Wolf 93 that had made it all the way down to California. That wolf got hit by a car. And now it turns out that investigators are looking into a group of wolves. It was an entire pack. Wiped them out. This was just a couple miles from La Grande. And they wiped out an entire pack of wolves and a bunch of the other animals, too. So they're saying some birds and everything was found dead. So someone laid out some, you know, some poison meat or whatever. took out an entire pack of wolves, and it's highlighting the fact that, you know, we're trying to bring back the wolves, but now people that are living in the area, you know, it's like this.
This is a really polarizing thing, because I have some family in Central and Eastern Oregon, and they're very, very, very anti-wolf.
Yeah.
And
I'm
like,
very,
you know,
very pro-wolf, but I don't live in LeGrand, and wolves aren't trying to eat my pets and eat my chickens and cows and all that. But I read that story.
Portland,
and it just,
people should stay out of the farming conversation. Well, that's the, you're going to get some of that.
Well, I see both sides of it, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
But at the same time, that just seems
probably
like a really cowardly way to go about it, right?
Arm wrestle, you and me, wolf. No, I get what you're saying, but flippantly putting down poison is a bad idea, because not only did they kill wolves, they also apparently killed other animals, which sucks. That's not the best way to go about it, but I have heard both sides of this argument, and it is more controversial than just, like, they're killing harmless animals.
I know. It's like anytime you get into hunting or animal stuff, you do get both sides
of
it.
My family hunts, yeah.
And I try to see both sides of it. But at the same time, it just – I tend to be pro-nature. It bothers me that
– I do too.
That we – you know, the wolf is out there doing what the wolf does. And then we're like, well, we're going to blow you to smithereens. And it's like at some point, the wolf has to be able to live somewhere. That the wolf has to be able to eat something. It's like we do this so much –
buy your own property.
Right? It's like, what do you want? Like, how far do we push it?
Right.
Like, at some point, you know, we either get rid of them all, or you have to accept the fact that if you're choosing to live there, you're choosing to ranch there, part of it is dealing with wolves. I feel like this is my solution. If you are having wolf problems, then you have to face it like Liam Neeson in The Gray. I'll give you a knife and, like, some broken bottles that you can tape to one hand, and then you got to go out and fight one. If you can kill one with your bare hands and a knife, then that's fine. Other than that, you don't get to deal with them.
Are you going
to
get one by itself? Do you get a lone wolf, or would you end up getting a pack?
Well, look, we'll separate it. We'll get you like a UFC sort of arena thing. You know, we'll find the wolf octagon.
Can we sell tickets?
Well, maybe pay-per-view.
We'll donate it to charity for animal shelters
wolf
or something.
Wolf conservation
there
sort of thing.
There we go. Kill one, conserve many.
I just feel like, you know, yes, if you want to eliminate the wolves, you should have to do it Rambo style.
I really appreciate that we solved this problem in like 2 minutes.
Well, no one will.
Excellent work by us.
No one will listen to me about my homeless solutions, and now I've already solved that one, and now here we are solving the ranchers' problems.
And if you lose, you're buried in a hot dog on a stick outfit.
Well, you know, full circle. Look, if you lose, maybe you can tap out, right? You're like,
no,
hey.
No, it's to the death. It has to be. Who's going to win that land?
That's true.
Yeah.
I do like it.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe with the UFC cage, maybe you could tap out, although the wolf may not respect the tap out. But you know what I don't
respect? Excuse me, wolf. I've tapped.
The cowardly poisoning of an entire pack of wolves. That's Bush League, LeGrand. You're better than that. All right. That's in the news. When we come back, the Hot 5 at 5, and then we set your DVR, and then Joey Harrington will join us at 5:30. Get you ready for the Oregon-Utah Pac-12 title game right here at 10 to the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.